Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your goodness. And thank you, Lord, for this afternoon. Some of us in the afternoon already, we give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. I pray that everyone that's in here this morning will be able to engage the message of the Lord in the Spirit. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Now let that light shine in our hearts, shine upon our ways, even this morning and afternoon, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let me take a scripture reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. I read from verse 1. Just read just a few verses here. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, he said, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Praise the Lord. So just a short text this morning, and let's look at this drama that Jeremiah was engaged in. And listen to what the Lord said to him. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. So there's something the Lord wanted to show him, and he's going to use what he sees at the potter's house to show him this, or give him this understanding that the Lord wanted to, you know, convey to him. So he goes to the potter's house, and when he got there, well, he saw the potter making pottery. That's what he does. And, you know, it's on the wheels, you know, got the clay and, you know, making something. He was making something. But the thing that he made was bent out of shape. It was messed up. It was marred in the potter's hand. It was in his hand nonetheless, but it got messed up. And it was kind of bent out of shape. So, you know, he took it and remolded it. See? Again. Hallelujah. Even as he pleased him to do so. And I guarantee you that he can do it any number of times until he likes what he sees. So he's trying to make something. The thing doesn't look or come out quite right. So he molds it again. And, you know, maybe this time it looks a little better than the last, but maybe not quite, you know. So maybe he molds it yet again until it comes out just right, just the way he, the potter, wants it. And so while Jeremiah was thinking about these things and thinking in his mind, well, I'm sure there is a message out of all that as a point here that the Lord's trying to get across. What the Lord came to him and said, you know, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? I mean, look at what the potter does with the clay. I mean, he can do as he wants and mold the clay as he wants. And if he, the potter, decides that the clay, I mean, or whatever the result is, or the product doesn't quite look like he wants, or it's a little messed up, well, he can redo it. He can do it over. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, well, can I not do as with you as this potter is doing with the clay? That's right. And so I call this a Holy Ghost makeover. You know, whatever is going on, whatever he's molding, if he doesn't at first turn out right, well, he can mold it again. He can build it again. He's got, you know, something in his mind. He has a pattern that he's trying to build. It's like an architect. He's got a pattern. He's got a plan. He's got a blueprint. He's got something that he's trying to build. Put it out on paper. What was in his mind? He's trying to build that thing. And each time, as the building's going to, time and time through the process, as the thing is going on, they'll check the specifications to make sure it's in alignment with the design. And if it isn't, well, maybe they'll remold it and rebuild it. A perfect illustration in this clay and potter scenario. The potter in this case is the Lord. And we are the clay. Ha! You know, the Lord is the potter. And we are the clay. And he is making us as he pleases him to do so. Praise the Lord. And you know, so if he, where the work of his hand, the Bible says, in fact, in Isaiah, you know, chapter 64, we're told that thou, O Lord, art our Father. Isaiah 64, verse 8. We are the clay and thou art the potter. You know, in fact, he calls it, he said, our potter, not just the potter, but our potter, you know, and we are the work of thy hand. So there is a relationship that Isaiah brings out through here. You know, the potter is not just the potter in this case. He calls him our potter. In other words, we submit ourselves to your molding. You can mold us this way, that way, or whatever. And whatever it chooses, however you choose to do the molding, we submit to you. Now that molding is what we're calling today the process. And, you know, sometimes that process, you know, say sometimes through the fire, sometimes through the waters, sometimes through rough places, sometimes up and down, sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But, you know, he's working on us and doing what he wants to do. Praise the Lord. And we must recognize that and trust him through the process. Now, that's what I want to just share with us today. Now, that's trusting God through the process, not trusting the process. You know, the spirit of the age will tell you to trust the process. No, you trust God through the process. Let's make sure we put that distinction out there. We're not trusting the process. We don't know what, you know, the process is, but we know God, who is the molder and potter, and he's the one that we are trusting through the process. A few things, stories in the Bible, and you know, these stories in the Bible, I mean, they're good stories. I mean, they're good for reading. I mean, sometimes you want to just read a good story. I mean, the Bible is good for that. When you want to get a lesson, the Bible is good for that. When you want to get instruction in righteousness, the Bible is good for that. When you want to get exhortation, the Bible is good for that. When you get teaching on a subject, the Bible is good for that. I mean, the Bible is good for, beautiful for every situation, basically. So I love these Bible stories. You know, just read the Bible, enjoy the story. And sometimes when you read the Bible and you are enjoying the story, Holy Spirit might open your eyes and you can read between the lines. And it tell you, another story within the story. It's amazing. You know, and the Lord knows I love good Bible stories. So he tells me, you know, stories out of these stories that are in the Bible. And so we have Bible stories about people that God told things to and that, you know, had to trust God through the process. So we've been talking about, you know, God's purpose and his plans. And again, let me remind you that in the context of those series, the purpose is where you're going. The plans will be how you get there. So if God were to show us something or tell us something, it could be through his word and a promise that he gives, faith will see that promise afar off. But believing and trusting God through the process is what gets you there. You know, so, you know, it's just like right now. You know, the Lord has promised us something. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, this same Jesus, whom you see taken up from before your eyes like this, you're looking at it. Well, scripture says, you shall come again in like manner. And as you see him go into heaven. Again, other scriptures say that while we are waiting for the coming of the Lord, you know, that we should wait in patience and possess our souls. And now, you know, while we're waiting, while we are believing that he's coming again, we should be. You know, any person that calls himself a believer and is not believing and trusting in the coming again of the Lord, I don't know what they are, what kind of believer they are. But as we are believing, we got to trust him through even the process of our waiting. You know, sometimes some people stop trusting. They get weary. Long hope wearies the heart. You know, many people get weary. What, you know, started out with an unknown length of a journey. The destination was known, but, you know, I mean, the destination was the promised land. You know, go get my people out of here. Got the land I prepared for them according to the promise to the fathers. That was the destination, was the promised land. But how long it would take them to get there, they didn't know at first. Well, Moses had to tell Pharaoh something. So he said, well, you know, we're going 3 days journey into the wilderness. We don't know that it would take them 3 days to get there, but they got to at least start out. And as they went, the Lord decided to take them through, you know, a certain way rather than a way that would be easier for them to turn back. Took them through some other ways. And, but nevertheless, they did turn back in their hearts. And why did they turn back? Well, because it was unknown to them when they would get there. It's like, are we there yet? You know, but they could not trust God through the process. You know, and sometimes it's like, you know, when God promised something, the exact opposite is what is going to begin to happen. You know, but I mean, people were suffering in slavery for many, many years, hundreds of years. Some of them, their generations had died, other generations came, they died, and so forth. They knew the history. And so the promise of deliverance came to them. And so, you know, things are supposed to get better, but they actually got worse. You know, even before they left Egypt, it got worse. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, situations in life happen like that. Things get worse before they get better. When Moses came and announced to them that the Lord will set them free, and he challenged Pharaoh to let God's people go, Pharaoh said, well, these people are idle. They are idle. That's why they say, I want to go and worship the Lord. Make their burdens greater and heavier. Let there be more work laden upon them so that they won't have time to say, we're going to go worship the Lord. So their situation actually got worse. You know, he said, well, you know, whereas hitherto for you gave them straw, you know, for bricks, don't give them anything anymore. Let them go figure it out. And let not the tale of bricks diminish, even as it was before. So their situation actually got worse. And the people hated Moses for it. Their situation was bad, but you could have left us alone. Now you made it worse. Look at what you've done. And even Moses himself began to think, well, Lord, the situation of these people are worse, you know, than when, you know, you sent me here. And but the Lord had a plan. You got to trust God through the process. We don't know the process, but we do know the destination. And that's something we must know. Like I said before, during this series of purpose, if you don't know where you're going, how are you going to know how you're going to get there? We know where we're going. Praise the Lord. Even the greatest journey that we have embarked on, which is the journey of becoming like the sons of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received him, he gave them power to become sons of God. So there's a process. That become denotes a process. Well, from the time that we hear the word of God, you know, Paul himself said in Galatians 4 and 19, you know, talking to, you know, the Galatians, that he was trying to bring through the process and help them through the process, said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And so there's a process that they're going through. And they have believed the word, they have received the word, but Christ is not fully formed in them yet. And they must be keep on going through the process. You know, you can't look back. If you do, you know, bad things may happen. Luke 9 and 62 tells us, you know, that God is not pleased and with anyone that puts his hand on the plow and looks back, and they are not fit, Jesus said, for the kingdom. He said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back because situation gets rough, is fit for the kingdom. You must not look back. You got to keep going forward and trusting him that he'll get you through the process. And Jesus reminded us of this Lot's wife story. A very short verse in Luke chapter 17. And to remember Lot's wife. Well, what was the thing, you know, that you remember about Lot's wife? There's not very much I will remember about her, but something significant. And Jesus calling it out here. You know, not a lot is told us about her, but the fact that when God was taking them out of Sodom and trying to get them away from the destruction that was coming, the angel told them, you know, run for your life to the hills or wherever, run and don't look back. Run. Well, she did stop and look back. And that didn't end very well for her. If you know the story, came a pillar of salt and think there might be some atomic fallout or something happened to her. It did not end well. You know, and every time that we consider the past in terms of, well, you know, my situation was better then. Well, you know, here's how Hebrews puts it. Because people do think that at times. They say, well, the situation is getting worse. That means you think your situation was better before. Well, every time you think that, here's the way that Hebrews chapter 11, you know, verse 15 puts it. It said, and if, it said, truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, in other words, you've been mindful of the situation before, well, then you'd have opportunity to have returned. And many of them returned in their hearts. They might have not have returned physically, but they returned. But they were always mindful. I always say, well, are there not graves in Egypt that we should die there? Did we not have food enough? These people have forgotten that they were slaves. They returned in their hearts. They did not trust God through the process. The same God that delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh by a mighty hand and a stretched out arm showed signs and wonders in that land and brought them through the Red Sea as through dry land. Well, they quickly forgot when there were difficulties, like there was no water. They wouldn't trust God. See? Now they began to grumble and complain. And even when they found the water was bitter. And they complained even some more. But in each one of those situations, God had an answer, but they were not patient for the answer. They grumbled, they complained, they did not trust God through the process. And finally, well, God said, I've had it up to here with these people. You know? I'm done with them. They will not get into that promised land. And that's a serious situation. I mean, how that God can promise something and yet people cannot attain unto it because they will not trust him through the process. That's a serious situation. You can read those stories in Numbers 13 and 14. And when Moses sent out the spies, out of 12, only 2 trusted God through the process. 10 said, we can't do it. There are too many challenges that were, you know, that we see. The giants in the land itself is swallowing up inhabitants. I mean, they're contradicting themselves. I mean, if the land is swallowing up inhabitants, how then can the people be of great stature? The people should be diminished. You know, it should be diminutive in their stature. But you say, well, you know, the land is swallowing up inhabitants. The people are giants. And we ourselves are grasshoppers. We can't do this. And they forgot that God promised it, that you will get there. It's taking you there. But they did not trust God through the process because they saw challenges along the way. So they wouldn't trust God. You know, there will be challenges, ladies and gentlemen. And in fact, the moment that Jesus said, let us go on to the other side, well, the devil heard it too. Praise God. And just because Jesus revealed the plan and told you something, you know, and tells you where he's taking you, doesn't mean it's going to be smooth sailing. In fact, quite the opposite. You know, the devil is going to come against that word so hard. Make sure you do not get to that other side that Jesus said. Well, you got to trust him through the process. Now, Jesus trusted the word that he spoke. And so he went to sleep. The disciples, on the other hand, panicked because they were not trusting God through the process and the storms and so forth that are coming out. Many of you are going through some storms now. You say, well, but the Lord said we will emerge. But the Lord said he's doing prophetic repairs. The Lord said, you know, I've got an epic story that's emerging in my lives. I mean, God promised this and that and so forth. I mean, this year and beyond. And now look at my situation right now. Well, you got to trust God through the process. You got to trust him. Isaiah 43:2 gives us an assurance, you know, but you have to read between the lines to see that, you know, you go into the storms, the waters, the fire will come against you. He said it. When, he said, not if. So these things we must experience. You know, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. Well, you're going to experience the waters slamming against you. I mean, trying to drown you out. But he gives a little secret here. That's why you have to read between the lines. You know, number one, it tells us that you will experience these things because he said when and not if. Number two, it tells us you will make it to the other side because he says through and not into. If he had said when you enter into the waters, well, that's a different story. You may not come out. But he didn't say it like that. He said when you pass through, which means you come out on the other side. And the psalmist pretty much said the same thing. Psalm 23:4. When I pass through the shadow of death or the valley of the shadow of death. Well, what's going to happen? Passing through means you are coming out on the other side. That's what through means. And so even though there's fire all around, you know, we already have, you know, a promise that we are making it through the other side. And this is what the psalmist encouraged himself with. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if he had said, though I walk into the valley of the shadow of death, that's a dead end. You walk into something, you may not come out. But he himself, he knew he's coming out on the other side. That's why I said, I walk through. You know, and I've often said this, and many of you have heard me say it before. I say to people, so when you say, well, you know, how is everything going? Say, well, I'm going through some things right now. And I catch them at their words. I say, well, going through, by your own admission, you just said you're coming out on the other side. Because you said, I'm going through some things, right? Nobody says, I'm going into some things right now. Everybody says I'm going through something. So even subconsciously or otherwise, you are declaring that you are coming out on the other side. So act like somebody that's coming out on the other side. Trust him through the process. Hallelujah. Because you are coming through on the other side. The fire will not even overwhelm you. The floods will not overwhelm you. You know, you will experience fire. You will experience storms. You know, and, but you gotta trust him through the process. God may have promised you elevation, advancement, increase, celebration, but all of a sudden, you know, opposite happens. You lose your job, you lose everything, it looks like this and this and that, you know, but remember our lessons on God, what God is cooking. What is God cooking? And how does it work? When a cook is preparing something, can you smell it? Well, how does it work? The cook takes all kinds of things. I mean, the master chef takes all kinds of ingredients, you know, that he will use to, you know, for making whatever meal he's preparing. There's all kinds of things. And it's not just the good things. It may be some smelly things as well. And there are some things that you know, you put together by itself, the thing may not be good. You know, each piece of that ingredient that he puts there by itself, it may not be good. But, you know, when he puts it all together, that's when it all comes together, so to speak. So, what are some of these ingredients? Well, there are many difficulties that you are going through, and the many challenges can be part of those ingredients that he's using. We must trust him through the process. Hallelujah. Trust him through the process. When the Lord, things in the hands of the master, he can take everything that is going on. Yeah, some of the things that the Lord can take and use to blend something together, but you got to trust him through the process. Your very upbringing, your childhood, your personalities, your past experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the celebrations and the regrets, the successes and the failures, and even sometimes your own passions, aspirations, desires, you know, your occupation, and your education, your location, your environment, your possessions or otherwise. All of these things, your trials, your difficulties, your sicknesses, and, everything, your losses. He can take all these things as ingredients, you know, and put them in the blender and mix it all up and cook up a sumptuous meal. You know, each one of those by itself may not be edible. Some of the ingredients that we Nigerians use in cooking, some of them are smelly stuff. They're not even good to the taste by itself. But you mix it all up, and then, my goodness, and out comes this delicious stuff. But you got to trust him through the process. While the cooking is preparing, still, you got to wait for the meal. The meal cannot be served until it is ready. Now, some of those ingredients may have to go through, a pressure cooker. They may have to go through the blender. They have to go through whatever. But God knows what he's doing. Use everything that he needs to use. But the question though is, can you trust him through, the process? Sometimes you are well. Sometimes there might be illnesses. Can we trust him through the process? Sometimes one thing or the other diagnosed, can you trust him through the process? He will get you there. If he told you that he's taking you somewhere, he'll get you there. And how you get there along the way, that's another story. And sometimes God is like that. He doesn't tell you everything all at once. In Genesis chapter 12, when he called Abraham, it's amazing how he called him and what he told him and what he didn't tell him. But these people, they had sense enough to know to trust him through whatever he's doing. Get thee out of thy country, he said, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Get away from your comfort zone. And I will show thee a land that I will show thee. But he didn't tell him which land. He said, I will show thee. Well, you've got to trust him through the process that he'll get you there. You know, he tells you one thing. You got to trust him for that thing. Obey his voice in that thing. And then he'll tell you the next. If you expect the Lord to sit down there, paint you a full picture of everything, then you haven't read these stories in the Bible. He doesn't do it necessarily like that. He'll give you a little bit here, a little bit there. In fact, our mind cannot handle what God knows. If he gives it all to you, it'll blow your mind. Your mind might explode. You know, so he just tells you a little bit at a time. But can you trust him through the process? Can you put your hands in his hands? Can you put your, you know, one foot step into, you know, the footprints that you see ahead of you? Just one step at a time. You got to take the first step that he tells you, and then you got to believe it. You know, is that you, Lord? If it is you, bid me come unto the water. And Jesus said, come. You got to trust him through that. You take the first step, you step out of the boat. Now that's good. But you must keep your eyes on him through the entire journey to get there. You can't look around and say, you know, my goodness. You now see the waves are boisterous and the waves were boisterous the whole time. It's not that the waves just started happening. The waves were boisterous the whole time. But Jesus said, come. And you got to trust him through that. Take one step at a time. Keep your eyes on him. That's the key thing. And trust him through the process. Come, Jesus said. That word that he said will carry you there. Praise the Lord. Once he spoke, let us pass over to the other side. That word will get you there. But you got to trust him. It is in the mastery of the shipmaster or the lack of a storm. I mean, everything just calm. That's not what is going to get you there. What's going to get you there is the word that he spoke. Whether the shipmaster knows what he's doing or not, whether there is storm or no storm, it doesn't matter. The word that he spoke will get you there. But you got to trust him through that process. You know, and there are many, many stories, incredible stories in the Bible. The story of Joseph. Lord shows him he's going to be great. And then he will be greater than all his brethren put together. You know, what God didn't tell him was how he's going to get him there. Minor details. That's how we say it in the U.S. Minor details. Well, they were not minor at all. Took him many years of sufferings and so on. And the whole time he had opportunity to have disbelieved the word that God showed him. Devil would have had opportunity to tell him. Even the devil told him through his brothers. We will see what will become of your dreams now. Here come that dreamer of dreams. Let's kill him. Let's throw him over here. Let's do this. Let's do that. And they did many things to him. And he suffered many things. In fact, the scripture says the word of the Lord tried him. See, and the word of the Lord was tried. And so when God gives you a word, and all hell breaks loose against that word, well, maybe the Lord is trying that word. Maybe he's trying to see your response. If you will still believe and trust him through the process. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord promised you great successes, but all you are meeting with is roadblocks. Well, you got to trust him through the process. Whatever God has promised you, and it doesn't look like it's, you know, what you are experiencing at the moment, you got to trust him through the process. When you go from the pit and thrown into a caravan of Ishmaelites, carrying you to some place that you don't know, might be far away from your father or whatever, you got to trust him through the process. When you get into a place, a foreign land, many, many miles, maybe hundreds of miles away from thousands even, where you knew about. And all of a sudden, you are a servant, whereas you were a favored child in your father's house. Well, you got to trust God through the process, you know. And even when you are sent to prison for a crime that you did not commit, because of the integrity of your heart, how you stood, withstood the seductress. Well, you got to trust God through the process. You know, you got to keep trusting God. I mean, little did Joseph know that all these would-be destiny destroyers that were trying to kill his destiny were pushing him closer and closer to the very thing that God promised him. But he's got to keep trusting through the process. And you got to trust God. You know, and even when he had to wait 2 more years, he didn't know it was 2 more years he was waiting. You know, the baker didn't make it. The butler was restored, just like Joseph said. But he asked him, please remember me when you get before Pharaoh and tell him that, you know, I'm here. Put in a good word for me. You have his ears. When you're pressing that cup into his hand again, tell him of a young man that you met that is languishing in prison and had done nothing wrong. Put a word in for me. Maybe he'll have compassion on me, reduce my sentence or whatever. He had no idea that the man would say nothing. You know, 2 years go by. I mean, maybe the first week, Joseph is thinking in his mind, I'm sure, you know, one day I'm going to get a message and they, you know, something, my situation will improve, or maybe they'll pardon me or something. I don't know. I'm hoping this guy remembers. 1 week goes by, 1 month goes by, 2 months, you know, 4, 5, 6, you know, 18 months go by, 2 full years go by. The guy, the butler, did not even remember him at all. And then one day, but you see, God was walking through the process. Now, if the butler had remembered him right away, and I told Pharaoh about him as soon as he was restored, it might have meant nothing to Pharaoh at all, because Pharaoh wouldn't have been in a situation where he needed that gifting that was in Joseph's life. You know, it would have made not such an impact on him. But as God will have it, using even the bad things together, I mean, the fact that the man forgot him, God was even using that. And God waited and waited until one day Pharaoh himself had dreams, and nobody, soothsayers, astrologers, magicians, and whosoever he had around him, they couldn't do it. And finally, this man remembers, said, oh, I remember my fault this day. After 2 years, remember? Well, that's how people are. And say, well, you know, remember my Lord, when you cast us, myself and the baker, into the prison? Say, yeah. Well, I tell you what, you know, that time we met this young man, and one day the baker and myself, we told him a dream that we had the night before. And he interpreted the dream. The dream was, you know, difficult. We didn't know what it meant. He interpreted each of us dreams for us. And the baker, as he interpreted it, you know, in 3 days he was going to be executed. And that's what happened to him. Me, I would be restored. And that's what happened to him. And those dreams were difficult dreams. We didn't know what they meant. You know, I pray that he sent for this man, he will interpret your dream. Now, at that time, took 2 years for Perio to be in a situation where he would need that gifting. And it would make tremendous impact to him. 2 years ago, it would have meant nothing to him, that somebody can interpret a dream. So what? It meant nothing. Because he was in a situation that it would mean anything to him. And so Pharaoh said, okay, well, let's send and bring the man. See? Now, Pharaoh, I mean, brought him out, you know, the rest of what happened. Joseph through that whole time had to keep trusting God through the process. All the time was languishing away in prison, the devil telling him, you gotta be greater than your brethren, huh? Many of them have risen to great heights in their country now. They, you know, their herds have increased. They are doing wonderful. They've had children. They are growing. And look at you, suffering away here. Nobody is going to ever remember. You would never even see them again. You're going to be greater than them. They will bow down before you. You are going to die in this prison. Devil would tell him all those things. But he had to trust God through the process. You got to trust God when God puts you, even God himself might put you and allow you to be in difficult situation. He might be the one that even put you in there. You know, you say God will put, absolutely. Look at what God did to Mary. You know, God was the one that put Mary in that horrible situation. You say horrible? Yeah. You know, because, I mean, she became, you know, the talk of the town. You know, people looked at her narrowly. They thought she had played the, you know, whoredom and everything. She had gotten pregnant out of wedlock. And then she had this disdain, you know, look, that people looked narrowly upon her. And even the man that she was going to marry wanted to put her away. You know, all the pain that she had to bear. Sometimes people don't think about that. But Mary had to suffer, you know, the shame that she had to suffer. Carry a pregnancy when you were not married. You know, my goodness. And she was from the righteous branch. They wouldn't do that in their family. But anyway, God put her through that. But she had to trust him through the process. There was something the angel told her. That holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. My goodness. But she had to trust through all the pain and the suffering and the disgrace. Well, still had to trust God through it. Praise God. you know, I can go on and on and on. But let's bring it home to your process, your situation, a process that you're going through. You know, even when you are on a journey, you're on a flight. And we always pray, you know, that there's no turbulence, there's no problem, your flight is not delayed, your luggage is not lost, everything is happening smooth. But what if any of those things start to happen? You know, you got to trust God through the process. He's going to get you there safely nonetheless. You know, sometimes a journey that should take you maybe 8 hours and take you 3 days. Because of delays and this and that and what have you. Well, you got to trust God through the process. You know, sometimes your bags may be lost. You got to trust God through the process that you find those bags. You know, I mean, on and on and on. You know, when you get this bill of diagnosis, handwriting of ordinances or handwriting of diagnosis against you, you have an incurable disease. You got to trust God through the process. And you cry unto the Lord. You got to trust that God will hear you and bring you out of the terrible situation. The psalmist said, I cried unto the Lord. You know, and he heard me, but he had to wait patiently though. And Psalm 40, he said, look, I waited patiently for him. And he brought me out of the miry clay. It's like quicksand. He brought me out of it nonetheless. I was sinking. The more you struggle, the more you sink. But, you know, you bring me out of it. Brought me out of the miry clay and set my feet on the rock and established my goings, he said. Put a new song in my mouth. But he had to trust him through the process. The Lord said, I have anointed you to be king. But now the current king is trying to kill you. And you're running from pillar to post. I mean, you were minding your business. You didn't want to be king. God put David in that situation. David wasn't trying to be king. Was he? No. He was just a shepherd boy. He knew nothing about it. He wasn't even trying to be king. And God anointed. And the moment that anointing was upon him, he was a target painted on his back. You know. And the devil would try to kill him, javelin, everything. you know, and he had to run from pillar to post. But he had to trust God through the process. You know, that word that he said, it will come to pass. You know, no matter how many times you are chased all over the place, he said you will be king. You will be king. Huh. Glory to God. You know, until this day, David is still king. That's right. And Jesus will still sit on the throne of King David. Hallelujah. Praise God, you know, but he had to trust God through the process. I can go on and on and on. Now, what is your situation? What is the process that you are going through right now? There's a process of molding. If I go back to our original story, there's a process of molding of the clay in the hand of the potter. You know, that process, sometimes the thing is, you know, bent out of shape. It's not coming out like the man wanted. You got to do it again. You know, sometimes when they do the mining and bring those precious stones out of hundreds or thousands of feet of earth, they got to send them through the fire, you know, to purify, to bring out the luster. Well, you know, that process is not an easy process. You know, everything that we're going through that is purifying is not an easy process. You know, fiery trials, a prophesied will come at the end. Only a few will be able to go through difficult things, but we got to trust God through the process. Trust him that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But trust him. Even when you don't see his deliverance right away, you got to trust him that your God will come and save you. Hallelujah. For the scriptures said so. So that's our encouragement for you today. Trust God through the process. Nothing you've never heard before. But just to remind you again that you got to trust God through the process. While you are waiting, keep trusting him. Well, you are knocking on the door. Wait in the corridor of praise, someone said. And you got to keep trusting the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your understanding. Our understanding is the way that we think things should go. That's not necessarily the way God will allow things to go. But one thing is sure. The Lord has the perfect picture in his mind. And he'll bring all the pieces of the puzzle together. And they're going to form that picture. And even if any pieces are missing, he's going to get them, put them together. Pick up the pieces. Wherever they may be, it's going to form that picture. But that picture is the purpose. And he's got plans of how to get you there. And we should not be discouraged by the things that are happening. You know, scripture talks about tribulations, and sufferings, and various things that we must go through. Well, why? You know, why must we go through these things? Scripture says that we must, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom. But why? Why can't we go and enter the kingdom through easy stuff? Why must we suffer many things? Well, because Jesus himself suffered many things. And Jesus said, well, no disciple is above the master. If they have done these things in a green tree, they will do it also unto you in the dry tree. You know, Jesus said, look, the Son of Man must enter into his glory through many sufferings. You know, according to, you know, the story we see in Luke chapter 24, when he met two disciples on the way to Emmaus after the resurrection, and those disciples were troubled, you know, because they didn't know that Jesus was risen. He said, well, we thought that he should have been the one that do this and do that, and look at what they've done to him. And he said, well, and Jesus said, what things? And he said, well, are you a JJC just come. You don't know what's going on. And what's going on? I told him. And he just said, you fools. Don't you know that Jesus, you know, must suffer the things that are spoken of him in the scriptures and through his sufferings enter into his glory? That's right. Jesus' path, you know, to his glory went through his sufferings. What makes you think yours will be any different? You know, praise God. Philippians 1 and 29. You know, those of you who have believed on the Lord, it is given to you by the Father that not only should you believe on Christ, but you must suffer. You know, sometimes the reason you suffer is because you are a believer. You've got the devil put all kinds of things up upon you. If you align yourself with the ways of the world, sometimes you can escape some of these things. But because you said no, Moses choosing, you know, to suffer affliction with the people of God, you know, than, you know, bake himself into the pleasures of Egypt. He said, no, I'm going to align my, once he figured out who he really was, you know, he began to think that way. Well, he suffered many things for it. You know, he had to even run away for 40 years. So what is it that you're going through at the moment? In a moment, I'm going to pray for you for grace and strength. You know, sometimes the Lord may not take away the storm. And, you know, but what he wants you to do is actually to be bigger than the storm. You know, that's the, you know, that's the end of the matter here. Is God wants you to be bigger than the storm. That's a prayer I'm going to pray for you. He may take away the storm if he chooses. But even if he doesn't take away the storm, you got to be bigger than the storm. Peace is not necessarily always the absence of trouble or commotion. And that's a good thing if God gives you quietness and rest and assurance. That's a good thing. But even in the midst of it all, you can still have peace. In the midst of the tempest and tossing up and down the boat, you can still sleep. I mean, be in the back sleeping, you know, sleeping as if nothing was happening. Well, that's peace beyond understanding. That's Philippians 4 and 7 for you. The peace of God will keep your hearts even through those situations. It's not that God will remove the problem necessarily, but his peace will make you, your peace, bigger than the problem that you are going through. Hallelujah. And so be anxious for nothing, you know, but trust God through the process. And put your prayers out before him, knowing that he that is in you is greater than what is surrounding you that you are suffering. And those things outside you, they must not come inside you. The pain and all of that must not touch your spirit. The loss, the physical losses, even the physical illness must not touch your spirit. But in your spirit, you become bigger than that sickness. You become bigger than that situation. And you began to speak to it. Hallelujah. And eventually the thing begins to shrink. Yeah. But you trust God through the process. Praise God. And sometimes it's like, you know, you make a little progress and then it seems as if you make, you know, take a few steps forward and a few steps backwards or whatever. And it doesn't seem like you can make steady progress. Well, you got to trust God through the process. Praise the Lord. So that's our lesson today. Trust him through the process. Not the process itself that you are trusting, but you are trusting God who knows the end from the beginning to see you through. He's got plans. Hallelujah. The plans are how he's going to get you to the purpose that he has purposed for you. Hallelujah. This is the purpose that God has purposed for you. Whatever he told you, that's the purpose. His plans are how to get you there. But while you're on that journey, it may go sideways sometimes. Some people say it may go south. Whatever the terminology that you use for it when things are not going well, you got to trust God through the process. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and 28 talks about us trusting God through the process. Because God is able to make all things, good, bad, ugly. All the things I spoke about, your sicknesses, your diseases, your wellness, in times of joy, times of sorrow, you know, your background, your childhood, your education, you know, your learning, you know, your promotions and your, you know, losses, the times that you've done well, times that you've done not so well, good and bad, you know, positive and negative, or anything that's been going on in our lives, they're all ingredients in the hand of the master chef. Blend it all together. It's going to serve you up a sumptuous meal. But you got to trust God through the process. While you are waiting, can you smell what he's cooking in the kitchen? Yeah, he's going to serve it up. You got to smell it by faith. Praise the Lord. And wait for it. You say, wait for it. It will not tarry. Well, even if it looks like it is tarrying, wait nonetheless. It will not tarry long. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for everyone that is here today to hear this word of encouragement. Oh, I heard it, and those that may listen to it later on. Nothing that they've not heard before. But the Bible says that when men are cast down, that you will say that there is a lifting up. Let there be a lifting up today in the hearts of the people to trust you through the process. Hallelujah. You got little babies. I keep you up all night. Well, you prayed for a child. Now you got a child. Now you can't sleep. You prayed for a job. You got a job. Now all hell is breaking loose for you on that job. And so on and so forth. These things are just the way of life. It just happens. You know, stuff happens, as we say. But you got to keep trusting God through the process. I pray that it is well with you. And it shall be well in Jesus' name. As you look toward him, say, look unto me and be ye saved. He is the one, we call him Savior. And when we call him that, we call him by his name. And he will come. He will save you. But when he comes, he said, shall he still find you at the point of faith? He shall answer you speedily. But will you still be believing? When he comes, shall he still find faith in your heart? Or would you have turned back? Let's not be those that turn back unto perdition, but let's be those that believe to the end, to the saving of their souls. Who will believe to the end. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever thing that we're believing God for, let's trust him through the process. The little things, the bigger things, and the most significant thing is the journey that we are on, walking with God, believing, you know, for the end, which is the salvation of our souls. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, that peace will attend your children. Peace through the storms of life. You know, even when everything, sea billows are rolling and blowing up against, I mean, blowing that boat up and down and everywhere. Peace and quietness. Hallelujah. Let the walk of righteousness be peace. Let the effect thereof be tranquility for your people. Say, my people shall dwell in quiet resting places and shall have quietness, rest, and assurance forever. So let it be in the name of Jesus. No matter what is going on, these things must be subdued under our feet. Sicknesses, challenges, failures, losses, disappointments, they must be subdued under our feet, and they will be subdued as we trust God through the process. The Lord will test every promise that he gives to you, even as he tests every son that he receives. You know, what is your reaction? What is your testimony? Will you also go away? Jesus asked. And Peter responded, where shall we go? You are the ones that have the words of eternal life. Well, we are not going anywhere. We are stuck with the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. Now, the God of all grace be your glory and the lifter up of your head through whatever situation. May you receive grace to believe God and keep believing through the process. May the Lord strengthen your hands. The Lord cause your head to be lifted up, cause your hands to be strengthened. Bring strength, grace to your feet, your knees, everything. Strengthen you in the name of Jesus. Be strong, therefore, in the Lord, the power of his might. In Jesus' name. Now I turn my attention to the failures and the different things and miseries of the devil that are trying to make your situation worse. Well, God will mastermind their plans. What they plan for evil will turn out for good. Now, failure, hear the word of the Lord. Every failure in your life, in the lives of God's children, where the Lord has spoken, let my people go. Hallelujah. Let there be tranquility and peace and rest and assurance for the people of God. In Jesus' name, send, O Lord, deliverance to your people in their situations. They are crying unto you, said, thus saith the Lord. Everyone that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. And the people that put their trust in the Lord, they shall be as Mount Zion, that cannot be removed, abide forever. As we trust you, Lord, through the process, let us be established, cannot be moved. Even though, you know, rocked back and forth, but we stand firm. We're built on the solid rock, and the storms of life cannot blow this house away. In the name of Jesus, let those failures that have raised their ugly heads, let them shrink and they be blown away. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And let the name of the Lord as your banner go before you and be with you and be upon you, strengthen you in the inner man, and strengthen you and give you grace and establish you that after you have suffered a while, he will settle you, establish you, and strengthen you in Jesus' name. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory, Lord. We will not look back. We will not be like those that turn back. We'll keep trusting you through the process, and you will get us there because your word can sustain itself. And we trust that word that you have spoken. Blessed be the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.